Everything comes by grace. Everything. Ability to do, even the fact that you can think as a thinking person is the grace of God, because you could have been born with a mindless. You could have been not born at all. But beyond that, those very basic senses of which God is being gracious, because he's gracious to all creation. He is especially gracious to those he has chosen, because he brings to them the gospel and also the ability to love and receive the truth. Because the truth that I am speaking is not loved by everyone. There are people who would hear this and who would not love it. They cannot receive the love of the truth. And they'll notice the love of the truth must be received. See, I'm quoting from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You can read there. It says, because they received not the love of the truth, that God should send, that he would send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. God sends delusion. He sends truth. He sends the love of the truth. Because he could send us the truth. But if we didn't love the truth, then how would we receive it? We would reject the truth, as many do. So God sends delusions and so on and so forth. So how can you say that God doesn't tempt people? I mean, look at, consider the Garden of Eden. God put the Garden of Eden. He put in there a tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as Eve noticed, the tree was desirable to make one wise. It looked good to eat. It was pleasant to the eye. It was tempting. God created a tempting tree, a tree that was tempting. Just as God created all kinds of things in the world that are tempting. He created sex, very tempting. He created food, which is also tempting. He created the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the most basic sense. But he created all sorts of things in the world that are tempting. And he created man and put into man, as part of man's makeup and man's nature, desires. The man would desire things. Man would desire women. The man or women would desire men. Or the man would desire food. Or things that man shouldn't have. All kinds of desires are in man. And God created man with those desires in them. But yet it says he does not tempt. Because ultimately, God doesn't force temptation on us. Though he puts us in those situations. But what it is the lust within you that is yours. See, you have to own it. Even though God has created you with it in you, you have to own it. You know why? Because God didn't just create a perfect you and then add lustful desires. No, he created a person who had lustful desires as a part of their makeup. If God had created me in the beginning with, let's say, no lust, I wouldn't be the same person. Even so, even though God creates a tree that was tempting and creates man who is subject to temptation, God does not actually do the tempting. Even though it is written that God wanted to test Abraham, and the fact that God puts us in this world, he put us here to be tested, and that we should have temptations, right? And we should fall into diverse temptations and joy in it, as James says. Now, James says all this. What do you think? Now he's going back on his word over here and saying, well, wait, I thought he was saying the word trying of your faith, which is testing or tempting, it works patience. So doesn't God want us to have patience? When we ask God, isn't patience a fruit of the Spirit? Isn't the patience something we seek from God so that we could be like Christ? Didn't Christ even have his hour of temptation? Again, God doesn't actually do the tempting. He doesn't tempt you. And that's all he's saying. He doesn't tempt you. Though he puts you into tempting situations. Because it's for your benefit if you are his children. And for those who are not, it's because that's what they want. And whatever. And maybe they don't want it. I don't know. But you know what? Ultimately, God's focus is on his children. The rest are going to die. But those who he has chosen, those are his focus. And he wants them to be tempted. He wants them to be tested. He wants them to undergo things. He wants them to suffer things, to experience things. All that happens to make them his sons. To make them conform to the image of Christ. But what he's saying is, don't say I'm tempted of God. Don't say that. when he says God cannot be tempted with evil, do you know what that means? That means like God's promise says, and the devil used this, God's promise says, he shall give his angels charge over you, and they shall watch over you and guard you, you know, and they will keep you, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone, right? And the devil quoted that scripture. Now, I'm just paraphrasing. And some people say the devil twisted the scripture there, but not really. I mean, he maybe altered it slightly, but the point of him twisting it is kind of a moot point. He's just quoting it. Maybe he didn't remember it perfectly. But in its essence, he got it right. God is there to protect you. God is there to keep you. I trust in that. God is going to protect me. God is going to keep me. He's going to keep me, you know, when I get in the car and drive, I go out in faith and God is going to bring me home safe again. Now, the devil spoke those scriptures to Jesus and then he took him up on the top of the temple and said, throw yourself down. Throw yourself down because it is written, God can't be tempted with evil. Don't think that because he promised something to you, that now by doing evil, shall you get God to do good? God can't be tempted. You can't test him. People want to put God to the test. And in some ways, you know, he does get put to the test to whether he's going to fulfill his promise. But don't do it, but careful with those evil things. I'm going to see if God really loves me. I'm going to do evil. That's foolishness. Because if he really loves me, he won't let me do evil things. Don't be foolish. He can't be tempted. He doesn't tempt you. He sends tempters. He does that. Well, if he sends a tempter, isn't he tempting me? Well, no. Though he is responsible for it. I mean, you know, like I said, it's like, look in the garden. The tree was there, right? And Adam and Eve weren't eating it. But what happens? Along comes the serpent. Have God said? Well, do you think God was sleeping when the snake got into the garden? Was he sleeping? And some people worry about whether that was a literal snake or if it was like, you know, just really Satan, because he's called that old serpent. But look at, if an ass could talk to Balaam, certainly. And if swine could have devils possessing them, certainly.